Welcome to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name's Kyle, and I'm just a guy who really enjoys reading the Book of Mormon. As we journey through the text together, I'll do my best to help you stay on top of all the characters and storylines that are going on. But if you have any doctrinal or historical questions, you can get those answered in real time by reaching out on mormon.org/chat. Today's reading is 2 Nephi chapters 18 and 19, and you guys, we are really in the thick of it now with these Isaiah chapters. In our last episode, I was able to get through the current event stuff pretty well, piecing it together, taking it step by step, but here we're going a level deeper, and it's just getting harder and harder. But we will work through it together, and we'll see where we land. Chapter 18, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord said unto me, take thee a great roll, and write in it with a man's pen concerning Maher Shalal Hashbaz. There's a helpful footnote here in the edition of the Book of Mormon I'm reading, which says this means destruction is imminent. So he's writing concerning destruction is imminent. Verse 2, and I took unto me faithful witnesses to record Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Lord to me, call his name Maher Shalal Hashbaz. There's a great name for a kid. Good luck in middle school, dude. Verse 4, for behold, the child shall not have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, before the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. Now remember, in the previous chapters, Isaiah was telling us that he lives in Judah, and Ephraim is combining with Syria and coming up against Judah. And that's frightening, but the Lord said everything was going to be okay, and there's lots of prophecies about how the people who fight against Judah are just going to be wiped out. And now, this is a new sort of prophecy where Isaiah is having a son, and he's naming him Maher Shalal Hashbaz, which means destruction is imminent, because before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, before the baby is old enough to speak, Damascus and Samaria shall be taken away by Assyria. Verse 5, the Lord spake unto me again, saying, forasmuch as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloah, and go softly, and rejoice in Rezin and Remaliah's son, Rezin is king of Syria, Remaliah's son is the king of Israel. Now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory. And he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. I must say, even though I struggle to understand Isaiah, I really love his imagery. In the last chapter, he talked about the people's hearts being moved like the wind moves the trees. Here he's comparing Assyria to a raging river that's overflowing its channels. And if you think about an army in that way, that's pretty terrifying. Verse 8. And he shall pass through Judah, that's where Isaiah is, he shall overflow and go over, he shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye of far countries, gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy to all to whom this people shall say, a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to hear from the dead? To the law and to the testimony, and if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves, and curse their king and their God, and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth, and behold trouble, and darkness, dimness of anguish, and shall be driven to darkness. And now there's a very obtrusive chapter break. This is not just in the Book of Mormon. If you look at Isaiah in the Bible, this is where the traditional chapter break is, and it's strange because we're really mid-thought here. So I'm going to jump right into chapter 19, verse 1, but remember, the last verse was just saying, they'll look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and shall be driven to darkness. Chapter 19, verse 1, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously afflict by the way of the Red Sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Now here again, just like in the last episode, we stumbled upon a verse that is often taken to be a prophecy of Jesus, talking about a virgin conceiving and bearing a son. Here we're going to get into something you might recognize from Handel's Messiah, if you hear that around Christmas time. And really, I don't think there's any getting out of it. This has got to be a prophecy about Jesus. I don't understand why it's here in this particular context, but just listen to these words, and we are definitely talking about Jesus. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of government and peace there is no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent his word unto Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria. Remember, Ephraim is fighting against Judah at this point. That say in the pride and stoutness of their heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him, Rezin again king of Syria, and join his enemies together, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore will the Lord cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For every one of them is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For wickedness burneth as the fire, it shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother. And he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh, Ephraim, and Ephraim, Manasseh, they together shall be against Judah. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. So I'll be honest with you, there are long patches of that I didn't get, but I can tell the general tone of this is not happy, not an optimistic prophecy here. Going to be lots of destruction, lots of warring among neighboring nations, and even Manasseh and Ephraim, who, again, as I mentioned in the last episode, they're the two sons of Joseph, of the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat fame. Those two nations are going to be warring against each other. So unhappy times here, and that's the end of this chapter, and the unhappy times are going to continue right on in the next one.